Good morning, and welcome to Finance Pulse. Today is Wednesday, July 1, 2026. We are officially in the second half of the year, and the setup for bank finance teams is more interesting than it might appear on a quiet midweek morning.
Let me walk you through what has genuinely shifted since last week.
Start with rates, because everything else flows from here. The June dot plot revision is now fully absorbed, and the conclusion is stark. The Fed's median funds rate projection for end of 2026 sits at 3.8%, a sharp upward revision from 3.4% in March. Goldman Sachs pushed its expected first cut all the way to June 2027. There are no cuts priced in for this year, and there is an active hike possibility on the table for the July 28th through 29th FOMC meeting. That meeting, notably, produces no summary of economic projections. So when the decision lands, there will be no dot plot to anchor market interpretation. Here is the wrinkle that most briefings are missing. New Fed Chair Kevin Warsh confirmed at the June press conference that he declined to submit his own dot plot projection at all, calling it, in his words, not helpful in the conduct of policy. He is forming task forces to review press conferences, the dot plot, meeting structure, and transcripts. For bank treasuries and ALM teams, this is not a minor communications footnote. If the forward guidance infrastructure that anchors every interest rate risk model gets overhauled or quietly retired, banks are flying their balance sheet sensitivity analysis with meaningfully less navigational data. That is a planning risk every treasurer should be modeling now. On the NII picture, the Q1 superregional results tell an encouraging story heading into mid-July earnings season. Regional banks delivered net income growth that broadly exceeded expectations, with NII growing on fixed-rate asset repricing and favorable funding costs, a notable acceleration in commercial loan growth, and double-digit fee income growth in investment banking, trading, and wealth management. Several banks revised their full-year NII guidance upward after Q1. The macro setup for Q2, with no cuts and a possible hike, extends that repricing runway rather than shortening it. The superregional cohort is also executing a deliberate pivot, running down transactional commercial real estate and wholesale portfolios to free balance sheet capacity for C&I and mass affluent consumer segments. That repositioning is playing well in the current rate environment. However, there is a credit-side caveat that deserves attention. Core PCE rose to 3.3% in April from 3% in December, driven in large part by an oil shock that saw West Texas Intermediate spike from near $57 per barrel in January to 113 in April, before falling back to 76. The energy-driven inflation keeping rates elevated is the same force compressing loan demand in energy-sensitive sectors and adding risk to auto and consumer portfolios. The NII tailwind and a potential credit headwind are coming from the same source, and bank CFOs need to model both sides. On Basel III, the comment window closed June 18th, and we are now in finalization territory. The headline structural change in the March 26th re-proposal that deserves more attention than it has received is the removal of the dual-stack framework. Under the original proposal, large banks calculated capital ratios twice, once under standardized approaches and once under internal models, taking the more conservative result. The revised framework eliminates that parallel calculation in favor of a single standardized methodology. The regulatory rationale is simplification and comparability, but the operational implication is that banks have built significant capital reporting infrastructure for a world that is about to change. Controllers and finance transformation leads should be auditing what gets decommissioned and what needs to be rebuilt under the new single-stack logic. Separately, the new proposal introduces a distinct treatment for regional and smaller banks, which means the transformation investment required at a PNC or regions will differ structurally from a JP Morgan. Not enough clients are making that distinction yet. Now to the AI story, and today the angle is about the gap between ambition and execution. According to the Bain CFO Survey 2026, more than half of CFOs are increasing AI investment by over 15% this year, but only 15 to 25% have fully scaled AI in their departments. Among companies that have fully scaled, 41% report satisfaction with outcomes. Among those still in pilot mode, only 25% do. The Bain research also surfaced what they call workflow debt. Roughly 12% of finance organizations have deployed machine learning forecasting at full scale, yet the underlying process has not changed. Finance teams run AI-generated forecasts alongside existing bottom-up planning cycles, two processes running in parallel, neither fully trusted. The AI was deployed, the work was not redesigned. The deployment sequencing pattern that is actually working across early adopters follows a clear logic. AP automation first because the rules are clear and the volume is high, then reconciliation and close automation as AP success builds organizational confidence, then FP&A forecast refresh once data quality improves, and AR collections last due to external dependencies. Most bank finance teams are still at stage 1 or early stage 2 of that sequence. The most bank-specific deployment that is showing real ROI right now is agentic AI in treasury. Cash positioning across accounts and currencies, payment scheduling based on real-time liquidity data, and anomaly detection in cash flows that would otherwise wait until month-end. In a higher-for-longer rate environment, where idle cash has direct P&L consequences, that is where the agentic AI dollar is clearest. The governance question is crystallizing too. 86% of finance teams have already encountered inaccurate or hallucinated outputs from AI in live workflows. A CFO Dive piece published this week frames it precisely. When an AI agent is responsible for shaping a forecast or reallocating a budget, the accountability falls on financial leadership. The concept of architected accountability means the finance function defines the rules, thresholds, and escalation criteria before the agent goes live, not after the first error. For banks operating under SOX, regulatory reporting obligations, and supervisory scrutiny, governance has to be engineered in from day one. Let me close with today's three conversation hooks. First, the dual stack question for any large or super-regional bank client. The Basel III re-proposal eliminates parallel standardized and internal model capital calculations. Does your client know how much of their current capital reporting infrastructure was built for the dual stack world, and what gets retired versus rebuilt under the simplified framework? Second, the workflow debt diagnostic before the next AI vendor purchase. Can your client map their current forecast process and show where decision rights and approval thresholds are clearly defined? The governance architecture has to precede the agent, not follow the first hallucination. And third, the WASH communications overhaul as an ALM model risk. If the dot plot and SEP are materially reduced or eliminated, the forward rate signals anchoring every bank's interest rate risk model become structurally less reliable. Is your client's treasury function building scenarios for a world with meaningfully less Fed forward guidance? That is Finance Pulse for Wednesday, July 1. Happy second half of 2026.